Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to Boiling Point Faith and Fire. This is episode one of 2026. And let me be crystal clear. We didn't start this last year just to come in whispering this year. The show exists because silence has gotten people comfortable. Compromise has gotten cute, and too many believers have decided that staying liked matters more than standing firm. Not here. Not in the show, not anymore. Our mission is simple and it's non-negotiable: to tell the truth, to stay biblically aligned, and to refuse to bow to fear, culture, or counterfeit morality. We talk faith without the softness and politics without apology and obedience without pretending that it's easy. Jesus wasn't quiet, the prophets weren't polite, and the early church didn't win by blending in, kids. 2026 is not about playing nice. It's about clarity. It's about conviction and calling things what they actually are. And if that makes people uncomfortable, good, because that's what growth is. So let's be a little bit louder, sharper, more grounded this year, more awake to the spiritual warfare, and less interested in approval, more committed to obedience. So if you're tired of watered down faith, scripted outrage, and leaders who don't say what needs to be said, welcome home. This is Boiling Point, Faith and Fire. And joining me is the great co-host, Rory. If you guys know you have a voice and you have a vision to want to start to utilize your platform and your voice because you're ready to speak up, he get resourced with Rory because he is not just a professional podcaster. He is making waves as a podcast coach. So, Rory, thank you for hanging out with me again today on Boiling Point.
Absolutely, my pleasure. Happy New Year. Love it.
Yes.
Love that we've made it through all this. And I mean, yeah, we're still doing this podcast and it's still growing and we're into a brand new year and this is going to be a big one.
Yeah.
So really cool.
It
Really cool.
is going to be a big year. I didn't do my little housekeeping, y'all, and I feel like I probably should do a little housekeeping.
You got to start the year off right.
Because this
Yeah.
podcast contains political commentary, comments, and personal beliefs. Nothing shared here is legal advice, medical advice, or a directive on how you should vote or think or live. We speak from our perspectives, from our convictions, and our lived experiences, but you are responsible for your own conclusions. Okay, so listen critically, agree, disagree, just stop outsourcing your brain. We want you just to freaking use it. Okay, just use your own brain. Yeah, you guys, 2026 isn't just another election year. It is a battlefield where the future of this country gets fought over in plain sight. Are they really fighting over us if they're two wings of the same bird, though? I don't know. I don't really know. But
That's
we
a
are
tough one.
we're staring down a midterm cycle that will literally decide who controls the halls of power in Washington and every state capital. Every one of the, what is it, 425, 35 seats in the US House is on the line. We've got a third of the US Senate up for grabs, and governors in key battlegrounds like Michigan, please, can we do something right this time? And Wisconsin, I mean, we're facing contests that could radically shift state priorities for years to come. And this is against a backdrop of redistricting fights that decided before a single vote is cast how competitive many of the races are going to be.
Oh, yeah.
Maps drawn to protect their people or flip seats, depending on who's in charge. Which that alone really can tilt an entire branch of government before the ballots even hit the drop box. But this is my thing. I don't want you guys to sleep on policies. That's the important part of this. Not, I don't care about people anymore. You can't care about people anymore because I feel like they're all bought and paid for, but these policies stick. And if you don't take my word for that, just check out, how many men end up in women's locker rooms. So policies stick, and there's a price to pay if you're not awake.
100%. I mean, if you're in a red state right now, for instance, look at the cost of everything you're paying for as opposed to a couple of years ago. We just went out of town, a couple of times in the last month. And I mean, 20 bucks is almost filling my tank at this point again, because We're down to like 2.17, I think, at one point we
Wow.
hit, for gas. That impacts everything.
Yeah.
Cost of gas impacts everything. And whenever I hear somebody go, well, if I have to pay a little more for, a gallon of gas, okay, stop whatever you're going to say right there because you're ignorant
Yeah.
and you don't understand how it works. If gas is really expensive, that means every other thing in your entire ecosystem is
Goes
more
up.
expensive. Right. Because that means it costs more to fuel the truck that brings whatever it is to the store. That means it costs more for the store to buy it off the truck. That means the store has to sell it for more to make the same amount of money to you. So it isn't just one little thing or just when I go fill up my tank. It's every
Right.
single product you buy ever in your life. That's what gets impacted.
Right.
People have no idea how something as stupid as the cost of gas does that. But if you just look at, cost of goods, if you look
Yep.
at, killing babies and or not, and Minnesota just signed into law that you can get, literally terminate a pregnancy all the way up until the moment of birth. And I almost fell over when I read that.
I
I'm like,
saw
Tim
that
Walz doesn't have
today.
enough going on. He
Yeah.
doesn't have enough going on that he's got to, do that. And I'm going, what in the world, dude? That is what you're voting for. These missing kids, these exploited kids that have been found. I mean, there have been over 100,000 kids found, rescued from child trafficking simply because we closed the border and went after these people.
Yep.
You vote the wrong way, and these kids are still sitting there. I don't know
Yep.
how you can possibly call yourself a Christian and vote that direction anymore. And you brought it up, but men and women's locker rooms and, doctors who are willing to mutilate, teenage boys and girls.
Children.
It's like we've always said, it's in the damn DSM-5, that it's gender dysmorphia.
Yeah.
It is a mental illness. And one side wants to say that's okay. There were four Democratic women from the House of Representatives that put forth bills basically trying to reduce the penalties on child predators.
Right.
How do you, seriously, how do you?
And the whole world, because if you at any given time, okay, this is my husband's Facebook account, right? Like he, first of all, has a private account. He doesn't friend anybody. Mainly it was for Marketplace. But then, sometimes I'm like, hey, I need content, see what the scoop is, because I'm not a fan of scrolling. And so I look and, Facebook will show me where he comments and I see wood chipper, wood chipper, wood chipper, wood chipper, wood chipper. Literally, I screenshot one last night. I'm like, babe, you're at it again. Okay. But it's not just him, you guys. I look at these comments and it's everybody, everybody. The public is exhausted when it comes to people hurting our kids. So the real public, we don't want it to go softer. The real public wants gruesome, bloody, front and center Main Street death, as it should be. If you touch a kid,
Ouch.
it's that simple. We're not going softer on that. And everybody's exhausted of this. And I hear the exhaustion, and it is real, especially like when it comes to voting and stuff, right? A lot of people across the political spectrum, they just feel worn down because change isn't moving at the speed of our outrage. Accountability isn't moving at the speed of our hope. But progress in a constitutional republic is cumulative. It just is. It's kind of like I tell my listen bitch audience, it's the little things that you do over time that make a big difference. And the media and all of these people have made this cinematic. They make everything big, loud explosions, like let's do this and look over here, and it that's not it. But our progress is built through turnout, through showing up even when it's boring. Maybe you don't have kids in the education system anymore. Go vote anyway. It's we have to refuse to confuse that frustration with futility. Elections aren't magic wands, you guys. It's a lever. And if we keep pulling them again and again, sometimes with inches to show for it, the system will finally shift. And it really has. Walking away, it doesn't punish the machine, doesn't punish the political game. It hands it to whoever did stay engaged. You understand? And that's what we've done. That's what we did. That's why we have men in women's locker rooms. That's why kids got taken and trafficked and kidnapped, and there's no accountability because a lot of us didn't show up because we were tired. We're exhausted. I get it, but you guys, this year, I want you to understand voting matters not because it's guaranteeing the instant results, but because it is setting the direction of power. Who writes the rules, who enforces them, who draws the map, who decides what gets debated and what's getting buried. Local races, primaries, midterms, these are the gears that move policies long before the headlines catch up. Those headlines knock the wind out of us this year. All of us. Like, I can't believe this is happening. But I promise you, momentum isn't loud at first. It's got to be quiet and relentless. And the people who win long term aren't the ones who feel energized every cycle. We're not like, we're going to win this year. You guys showed up with this huge expectation for what was going to happen when Trump became president, but you don't understand the system. You don't understand the system and what he's up against. And I look for the hope. I look for the good things. And we can highlight that in a minute. We can do a little recap of good things he's done, what's to come this year, what he is sure. working on. We are slaves of the system. And I know a lot of people now, because all of this truth has come out with the election fraud. I mean, people are getting money back after having to pay a lot of fines because they questioned election integrity. So a lot of people feel burned. And that's part of the game. I think that was part of the game. Can rigging an election benefit you in more ways than one? Absolutely. One, you rigged a whole freaking election. Two, you made people feel burned by a system that they can't trust anymore, so they're not going to show up anymore. You right. understand?
Yep.
That's, they're using you no matter what. Whether you show up or you don't, you're a useful idiot. So I want you guys to still continue to swim upstream with us. I guess that's it. That's basically, I'm asking you this year to swim upstream with us. And it's going to be messy and it's going to be hard and we're going to get exhausted and our arms are going to get tired. But I think if we can all make this one big movement together, that we start to win.
I agree. You know, Republicans have a habit of, we don't get what we want right away. And so then we give up on our candidates.
Give up. Yeah.
And we would never vote for the other side. But what we do is we get apathetic and we go, you know what? I tried. They didn't do anything. I'm not going to bother. And they don't realize what's going to happen if they don't bother, you know, and you really kind of have to ask yourself about, and I hate to go into it saying this, but the lesser of two evils, because, yep. you know, you and I look at everything through a biblical lens when we're on here, because, you yeah. know, politics is politics, but, you know, behind it all is faith. And there is one side that is clearly trying to adhere to some sort of at least somewhat godly behavior. Okay. And there's another side that literally is trying to destroy it.
Yeah.
That's where we are today. And, you yeah. know, we've had polar opposites in a lot of different things in my lifetime. I've been around a long time. And so I've seen a lot of different polar opposite viewpoints, you yeah. know, with the candidates and with the parties and whatnot. But you have people right now who are making decisions about their entire lives, about morality, about survival. About whether or not they're allowed to even worship anymore in a country that was founded on freedom of religion and no taxes.
Yeah, I know.
Those are the things that caused the United States of America, was that we wanted to be able to have religious freedom and we didn't want to be told, you know, who or how to worship. And we didn't want people taking our money for nonsensical taxes whenever they just blinked an eye. That's literally how we started. As a nation.
And look at us now. We're slaves, literally.
Exactly. We've given it all up. So there is one side, though, that's trying really hard to eradicate Christianity from the equation.
Yep.
And one side that is not. So they may not do everything you want them to do, but if they're not trying to destroy you,
right.
then unfortunately you need to keep that in power, or you're going to be facing serious persecution. Under the old regime, people got arrested for memes. You know, people who said what we just talked about election interference. You know, if you said the words rigged election, you could go to jail. There's a guy who just got out of jail for that and is now suing everybody, you know, because they've already proven what they're willing to do to you. Don't forget that. Don't forget that you couldn't go to church. Don't forget that you couldn't say goodbye to people who were dying. Okay, I guarantee you'll have the next COVID. You'll have the next, you know, whatever it's going to take to manipulate all of us. The United Nations is setting it up now because they're saying, oh, we should isolate the United States and not help them if they're not going to obey. And you know, folks on our side should be going, well, good. Then we just won't pay you. How about that? You know, $297 billion? No, we'll keep that. You guys go ahead and isolate yourselves. Have fun.
Minnesota could do a lot with $290 billion, you guys. So
Yeah,
keep
they
it in the
really could.
States. Keep it in the States.
But you're right. You're right. You know, at some point we have to look at the bigger picture this year in a big way.
And like, we can't, you guys, the system is crooked. It doesn't matter how you look at it, but like, we can't change that system by opting out. We have to outlast it. Because this is always, politics is always going to be messy. It's always going to be slow and it's going to be nasty on purpose because exhaustion is a strategy. They want good people tired and distracted and cynical. So the loudest, most extreme voices get to write policy unchecked. And if you care about core values, like Rory's saying, the lesser of two evils, this is about core values. This is spiritual. Do you care about life and family and faith and freedom and personal responsibility? Then this year isn't about party loyalty anymore. It's just not. It's about policies and pressure. It's about showing up in your true voice. You don't have to love politics to participate. Shit, you don't even have to like politics. I hate politics. But you have to show up. You show up. You do this by loving your kids, by protecting your conscience and knowing that your future is more than your fatigue. Every vote that you make is a boundary, and every conversation you're having is a seed. I planted so many seeds this year, and I've seen so many people change gears, literally right in front of my eyes, to think, just show people how to think different. We're never here to say this is exactly right or this is exactly wrong. We're here just to get you to use your brain to decide your own discernment, your relationship with Christ. Where do you stand with these things? You know, it's a seed, but when you refuse, like every refusal to disengage is resistance. We protect our values by staying present. We protect our values by, you know, staying informed and unashamed by demanding accountability, but we can't get bitter. Like they win. If we're out here bitter, demanding accountability, and we're like, screw it, I'm done, hands up, that's it. We have to play the long game with conviction. That's it. So I don't want you to disappear this year. That's how we make the difference. And, you know, we have a president that came in and got a lot of people hyped up. He did. But 2025 for him wasn't about like the feel-good speeches. He did move levers. He did come in swinging with executive action. You know, he did gut a lot of bloated regulations. He reversed a lot of Biden-era energy bullshit policies. You know, he reopened domestic drilling, put America back in the energy first instead of begging everybody else for fuel. Border enforcement went back to enforcement with policies that actually prioritize that deterrence. You know, he's leaned into the trade pressure, the tariffs. He's put American workers first. He's put, you know, forcing foreign governments back to the table. You know, he's showing our strength. So I want you guys, like, maybe everything didn't come and happen like we expected it, but you guys do understand, like, love him or hate him with what he did, whether he's playing the scripted game or not, he still did things that aligned with my votes, with policies, with what I think is going to protect the United States. So the things that he's working on this year, I think it matters just as much too, because this his focus is about tightening the economy so that people actually feel that relief, you know, and that means he's going to push harder on the trade leverage, keeping energy prices down, forcing government agencies to justify their existence instead of just the endless expanding. He has shut down a lot on that. Keeping immigration front and center. National security and rule of law are not optional in the United States of a freaking America. Okay. So, I think he's going to spend a lot of time still positioning, showing his hand. We just can't have these expectations and give up because it doesn't look exactly how we wanted it to look. They don't like he doesn't have a freaking personal checking account, right? He's operating inside a constitutional system that is deliberately built to be slow, fragmented, and annoying. And I know that pisses a lot of people off, but like that is the truth. He can't just wake up and shut off all foreign money with a Sharpie. I asked that question so many times. I'm like, why did we just approve another $8 billion to Ukraine? Like, why did we do that? You know, this is the thing, a massive amount is already authorized. It's locked into multi-year budgets. It's like locked in. It's locked into treaties. It's locked into defense agreements. It's stuff that's passed long before the current moment. I want you guys to understand that. That money is already legally obligated. So a lot of presidents before us kind of screwed us over. And
Yeah, good points.
if he just ignores that, it becomes a constitutional crisis, and it's everything gets stalled, and it's protected so that the president, doesn't get to have one person having that unilateral control over spending. So it was kind of a protection, but then they manipulated it so that it benefited them in a really terrible way. But I will say that he is still working on the federal tax ending. He is a voice for that. And he's taking the little baby steps to make sure he can set us up to not have to do that anymore. Because that was, you guys, we did an episode about that, right? Where I talked about the fact that it was temporary, and here we are paying taxes on taxes on taxes, and everybody's crying about reparations for slavery. Yeah, every taxpayer in the United States of America should get reparations for slavery because we've been carrying the debt on our backs for I don't even know how long, too long.
When we were told it was going to be temporary, absolutely, 100%. You bring up an interesting point about everything being a process too. And you elect a president for a 4-year term. And so are you going to give them 4 years? Because what happens is Republicans go, all right, yeah, we elected him for a 4-year term, and yeah, we're only 2 years into it, but I'm not happy with the progress. So you know what? I'm not going to bother going down to vote, right? Because we're not voting for him. He has 2 more years to do it. We'll just see. Folks, if he doesn't have the House and he doesn't have the Senate, he's not going to get a doggone thing done in the last 2 years. If you don't go show up, like you did in the last election, if you don't go show up and vote to keep the House and keep the Senate and do what really has almost never been done before, which is increase both. If you don't show up, you literally are giving him a 2-year term. You're saying, you know what? He's done. I'm not giving him 2 more years because he won't be able to get a single thing passed that he wants to get done, that he promised, that you wanted to see. Folks, he's a year into a 4-year term. And you get the chance to vote to say, are we going to give him the other half of the 4-year term to get anything done? That's what you're voting for. It's not about whether or not you like, Johnson or Massey or anybody else. It's about whether or not you're going to give him a chance to complete his term. And he's not running for another one. So this is it. You voted to give him 4 years. Now you have to go in and again say, I still want him to have 4 years. I'm telling you right now, if you lose the House, he's finished. The agenda's finished. Nothing will get done. First thing they'll do is impeach him. He'll be out the door and you won't have him anymore. So if you voted for Trump and you want to even give him half a chance to complete what he started, you have to show up. have to show up this year on all of the local elections because they all matter. And if you think that your local elections and who helps count votes in the townships and the villages and everything else don't matter, look at 2020.
Yep.
Okay, that's where
The truth has come out.
that's where all the fraud happened. It's all over the place now. Mainstream media won't tell you, but if you look hard enough, you'll find it all now
Yep.
because they can't hide it anymore.
No.
Got to show up.
You have to show up. And I think a lot of us really do want the foreign spending to stop. I agree. But like yelling at the Oval Office isn't what gets it done. Primaries, Congress budget, and sustained pressure. Presidents can steer. That's what I've learned. They can steer the ship, but legislators write the checks. And nothing changes if you're going to tap out because you're tired. It's annoying. I get it. And it's fixable, but only if people are going to stay engaged.
Right. There's a
That's,
lot that's on the ballot this year, so to speak.
yeah.
This idea that a liberal judge somewhere in some state, I don't know, in the middle of nowhere, can just pass a ruling and stop a presidential order.
Yeah.
Trump says we're deporting these people, and some judge somewhere says, no, you're not, and throws out a judicial order.
That's insane to me.
That's utterly insane, but it has to be fought. Okay. They found another way to try and delay things, and it is delaying things. But in the next year or two, that's all coming before the Supreme Court. And they're trying really hard. The other side's trying really hard to push this off for at least a year
Yep.
before it hits the Supreme Court. If you don't show up and you don't keep, conservatives in control of both houses, then that's the type of thing that's going to be allowed from now on.
Right.
Some judge anywhere can derail everything
Everything.
simply because of their politics. That's not a democracy. That's not a constitutional republic. That's nothing that you vote for. That's any judge who gets elected anywhere gets to wield this power. We have to stay the course and allow that to get shot down.
Right.
Once it becomes Supreme Court precedent, then no other judge can do it. But right now, it hasn't yet. So it has to be tried in the court. You have to go through the process.
Yeah.
And the process is going to take 4 years. You got to give them 4 years to get this stuff done.
Yep.
And that's really where we are.
I see that. And it's we the people, you guys, and we want to take our country back. And it doesn't happen with one election or one man or one viral moment. We take it back by starving the machine of our apathy, and we force accountability at every single pressure point. And this is what happens is the system is surviving right now because people feel trapped. We are taxed to death. We're regulated to exhaustion, nickel and dime to every turn. Income tax, sales tax, property tax, gas tax, payroll tax, death tax. If you're in Michigan, weed tax. I mean, it's insane right now. You know, two tax increases in 6 months is just mind-blowing to me. This is not accidental. Complexity is control. And when the system gets big enough, when it's confusing enough, when it's slow enough, people stop fighting it and just comply because they're tired. And that right there is the cage they want to keep you in. So I ask this question for us as a people: how do we move the needle this year? Because this is a thing we have to do together. Like Rory and I are just two people. And the whole reason that we are blessed with this platform is to be able to get you to asking the questions of like, how do we move the needle this year? We stop thinking federal first and we have to think structural. Primaries matter more than general elections. Local and state offices matter more than Washington. School boards, judges, county commissioners, state legislatures, those are the checkpoints. Soros is buying local judges now. Like that was the big move for him. He's got them in pocket. It's very obvious. It's very obvious. We take that back. That's the choke point where policy actually touches your life. That's where tax rates are actually set. That's where enforcement is actually decided. And resistance is either allowed or it's crushed. You don't break a machine by yelling at the top. You guys have to start pulling the bolts out at the base. So vote in your primaries, support candidates who actually talk about shrinking the government instead of managing it better, because that's code word for we're not going to change the system. We have to demand audits, we the people. We have to demand term limits. We have to demand transparency at the state level. And stop rewarding these politicians who campaign and govern like accountants for the system, okay? And I know, like, listen, no president can end federal taxes tomorrow. He just can't. That was never a promise made, and a lot of people have that so confused. But he does talk about this publicly and through policy as a fundamental shift away from the income-based taxation. That's where the tariffs come in, you know? He's trying to simplify systems that don't require the IRS to babysit your paycheck. You know, long-term idea, let's sh shrink the federal government so much that it doesn't need to extract from your labor the way it does now. Like, we're paying these people. It is just so, we are paying these people for a movie we don't even like. Every day we're turning into this movie, and we're not just paying them with our taxes. You've given them your energy, you've given them the attention, you've given them the gasoline to the match. Like, we've done that. But we have to start putting in the pressure. And Trump's role, you guys, sorry to say this, he's not the savior. Okay. Even going down the rabbit hole of Q and all the things, like, he's the white hat. No, he's a disruptor. And he is disrupting the system. So look for the truth in that. Look for the buttons he pushes intentionally. He's not an idiot.
Right.
He's done things very smart. So I do want you guys to be willing to see the good, to be able to see that, you know, he's pushing conversation into places that the system hates. You know, he's questioning why Americans are taxed into poverty while foreign governments get blank checks. He's asking why working people are punished while bureaucracy is growing, why the IRS has more power than most federal agencies combined. He's putting cracks in the door, but, like, we have to help him kick it open. You understand? And that's by staying engaged. That's by staying informed. And that's by staying relentless, especially when it is boring and when it's slow and when it's exhausting. And when we've watched the script over and over, we know the lines. Congressional hearing. We know the lines, right? Like, we know the script.
Right.
But you guys have to stop expecting a rescue, stop outsourcing responsibility to one man. Vote like a long haul insurgency, not a desperate crowd. We voted like a desperate crowd because we realized how bad we screwed up. We got caught with our pants down, literally, all of us, blood on our hands. We screwed up. Everybody panic voted. We can't do that anymore. We can't show up desperate when it's already too late. But we can shrink the machine by starving it of silence, compliance, and low standards. Like, that's how nations change. It doesn't happen overnight, but it will happen for real. It does happen for real. Politics didn't become dirty by accident. It became a playground because the devil knows power is easiest to corrupt where pride and money and fear collide. Elites and globalists aren't special because they're smarter. They're sick. They're evil. Okay. They're dangerous because they believe they're untouchable. They think they are untouchable. And they have been. They have been. And scripture is very clear. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. That wasn't like cute little David poetry. Okay. That's a warning. When systems normalize the lies, when they, you know, are rewarding exploitation and they're protecting abusers and call evil progress, you are not watching politics. This is that spiritual rebellion. Okay. The devil doesn't need horns when he has influence. He doesn't need chaos when he can buy silence. And he doesn't need force when comfort is what is keeping you guys compliant. I'm so mad that you're comfortable. I'm so mad. And innocents are always going to be collateral damage. Children, families, the voiceless, the unborn, the poor, because darkness always feeds on those who can't fight back. You're not allowed. You were not told. God wasn't like, hey, you guys, why don't you just sit back quietly while all this happens? We were called to expose the works of darkness, to defend the fatherless, and to speak for those who cannot speak for themselves, and to call evil what it is, even when it costs us. So you participating in here, you're not worshiping politics. It's We have to refuse to let evil operate unchecked. Silence is complicity.
There you go.
You're
You know, we made that mistake in the midterms of Biden's 4-year term. And there was supposed to be this big red wave, remember? Remember that? It was coming. Oh, it's gonna be a big red wave because things are so bad. How could they get any worse? The problem is we all went, oh, okay, red wave, great. I don't have to worry about it. I'm gonna stay home. Everybody stayed home. There was no wave. There was no red. It went badly because we
Badly.
all assumed everybody else was going, to do with their job. They're attacking, they're threatening. They're literally threatening the lives of the people who are trying to make changes at the top. Elise Stefanik was a very well-known New York representative in Congress, and she said, "I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to run for governor." She had the Republican nomination basically wrapped up and was more than likely going to beat Hochul up there in New York. More than likely. Next thing you know, she is out of politics. I need to spend more time with my family. I'm retiring. I'm gone. No explanation, no nothing.
They got to her.
And doubled her security on her house. And they're talking about moving, and she's going to leave the state, is what it looks like right now. Somebody threatened her family. End
Wow.
of story. Because she is, I mean, everything all together, get everybody in this room, security, bars on the walls, and we're out of this state. We're leaving. I mean, that's how far they're willing to go. I mean, we've seen how far they're willing to go. Look what happened to Charlie Kirk. That's how far these people are willing to go. And so the one thing they can't do is stop 70 million of us
Right.
from going down and pulling the lever for punching the ticket the way we all know we need to go down and punch the ticket. They can't stop 70 million of us from doing that.
No.
So we have to turn out. We can't depend on the people who are up top doing it. They are literally being hunted right now by the other side. It's become that evil.
And they're banking
That
on the
it's that
fact,
ridiculous. We
yeah,
have to do our own part.
I agree. In that, they're banking on the fact that knowing that these people are being hunted, knowing that their lives are at stake, they want you to believe that you're helpless. They want you to be scared. And that's the lie underneath everything. Helpless people, scared people don't fight back. Helpless people, scared people, they don't outsource their authority. Helpless people, scared people accept crumbs and call it mercy. So they're going to keep you sick, distracted, medicated, fat, entertained, and comfortable enough not to revolt. But never ever free enough to rise because the United States is a population that is exhausted, inflamed, and numb, doesn't read scripture, doesn't think clearly, doesn't recognize spiritual authority when it's theirs to carry. That is not an accident. That has been their strategy, and you're falling for it. And today I'm saying, like, today is the day that you decide something different. I want you to reject the bullshit lie that we're powerless, and you have to remember what God says. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. You understand faith and fear cannot coexist. Scripture is not your comfort blanket. It is a freaking weapon. And faith is not passive. It is very confrontational. That's the enemy's going to tremble when we speak the truth out loud because only lies survive in silence. So if you're going to sit on these stories and think about the people that they are hunting and the Charlie Kirks of the world and whoever's trying to speak up is going to get torn down, and you will feel resistance. I can't protect you from that, but I can promise you that even if it literally got you killed, you win in the end. You understand? Like, we're playing the forever game spiritually. Our meat suit, they can take our meat suit, but they cannot take your soul unless you give them permission. You understand? And that's the important part. And that's the power that God gave us. That's exactly why he sent his son here, literally to die for us, so that we can do that. So we can be willing to come here, stand in our power, remember who he created us to be, protect our babies. Call out evil. Meat suit was never going to last forever anyway. But to get your name in the book, get your name in the book. And if you're not going to actively engage in the things that matter in your life, you're not going to actively engage in praying or speaking out or voting, protecting innocent. If you're refusing to call evil normal, like you're engaging in warfare, whether you like it or not, and you're playing for the wrong side. It's not fun to get angry, but I do get angry for you guys, and it's not for sport. You understand? This is like about being awake. And I want to shake you to wake up. This is about conviction over any comfort that you have, because that's how the elites and the global systems crumble when you remember who the hell you are in Christ. Authority doesn't come from freaking titles or money, it comes from alignment with God. So stand up, get healthy, get disciplined, pick up your Bible this year. I literally have a group Bible study for a badass. You can go in there and get a daily reading guide, a schedule every single day. Very simple. Read the Bible, use your voice. Scripture and faith are not like just relics from the past. These are tools that God gave us for this moment. Let's do this year. Take our power back, not in our strength, but in His. We the people, and start pulling the right levels for this government to get their shit together. And that's my rant, because I am angry. I'm angry at you guys because I want you uncomfortable. It's that fat and happy people don't cause
I
waves.
mean, amen, sister. I think that's a great way to sort of frame up the theme for 2026 is,
Yes.
we have to take our power back. We showed up to put the people in power that we wanted in power. We are waiting for them to do what they were trying to do, what they promised to do. We're not happy that a lot hasn't been done. But, now it's this part's up to us. They're doing their part. They're out there trying to do it. It's not as fast as we'd like, but we have to stand up and do what we're doing now. Yeah, you got anything else? Or you want me to close this up?
I say close this out, sir.
All right. Happy New Year to everybody. I want to close it this way. I started my first program 6 years ago. I think seven almost. But it was, at the end of the Trump, beginning of Biden, era, we saw everything happening and we knew what was going on. And I saw what it was like trying to have a voice back then. And since then, when you're trying to have a podcast about masculinity and accountability and fatherhood and everything else, in the heart of the woke movement, you understand what hate really looks like when it comes at you. And you understand what a government or what different structures like, Facebook and fact checkers and things like that can actually do to you if they don't want you to speak. And so what I want to just end with is this. If you're listening to this in any way, shape, or form, if you follow one of us on social media, if you hear any of our programs anywhere else, you have a voice too. And your job isn't just to sit there and say, yeah, right, when we say something. Your job is to then turn around and say it yourself. Your job is to spread this message, to spread your own message. If you need a blog, if you want a podcast, if you want to do a YouTube channel, if you want to, I don't care, write a book, do an audiobook, if you want to just post on social media and be a content creator, I don't care. But if you have a message that needs to get out, you better start it now because you're still allowed to. And I'm telling you, it's going to really ache for the rest of your life if you don't get around to doing this until after things go bad, and then you find out that you can't because it's no longer allowed. Because if the other side gets back into power, the first thing they're going to do is shut down podcasts and conservative media because that's how they lost the election. That's how Trump won. They will not waste time. So if you have a voice, you better get going, you better spread it, and you better get out there and start talking before you can't. Get your message out. And quit playing around.
Amen to that. Happy New Year, you guys.